Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Charlotte Fowles. She is a transformational and executive coach, speaker, and co-author. Charlotte, welcome to our podcast.
Hi.
So one of the things that I first saw on your profile, and I tell all my clients this, if they are a coach or speaker, it is so much more compelling when you tell what other people are saying about you, meaning you can say how amazing you are and bright you are and expert you are, but when you have your clients say that, it just goes so much better. And in your case, you did that with your LinkedIn profile. So kudos to you and anyone who's listening who is a speaker, coach, or any business person. It always just helps so much more exponentially when you have other people saying what you do. So in your case, one of your clients said, signing up to coaching with Charlotte was easily the best business decision I have ever made. And this is a person yeah. named Bex Band. But what I'm saying for our listeners, this podcast is all about serving, giving, sharing stories. And I want to just highlight, I don't know you, Charlotte, but I know that you have good marketing because you are sharing a testimonial where it seems so simple. But now I want to know why it was the best business decision to work with you. So tell us why that your client shared that about you.
Well, we did some really great work and basically got rid of a lot of her blockers and doubled her income. So for a self-employed person, that's pretty great.
And talk about these blockers, because so much in life, it isn't just about where you want to go. It's what's in front of you that blocks you to get where you want to go.
Absolutely. And clearly, usually respecting client confidentiality, of course, Bex is a public figure and she's written a blog about being coached by you, which people can have a look at. Mm-hmm. But certainly in there, she talks about some of the blocks, which include beliefs that she had about herself and about others and behaviors that were holding her back. So we explored some of those in depth and really got under those. And that awareness was able to then work together to create something that would move around them.
Well, let's get more specific. Again, we don't have to use Bex, we can use another client, but what one specific limiting belief might your client have had, and what specifically did you do, say, encourage him or her to really move through? I want to really get into the specifics.
Limiting beliefs. There are so many, as I'm sure many of you know. I think money is a really interesting one. And money limiting beliefs about what a person can charge, whether that's you or whether that's somebody else, about what other people do with their money, about how we judge other people around their money, and how that actually holds us back in many things, from genuine interactions with people, from being able to accept people judgment-free, no matter where they are or where we think they are, more correctly, on their money. And then about what we charge for our services, no matter what business we're in. And as many people know, when you're in business, many people may question your price. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just there are many, many levels in all businesses of things that you can charge. And I think lots of people might hear a resistance to a particular price from one person and then extrapolate that to mean that their entire pricing structure is wrong. That's not necessarily the case, of course. It might just be that's the wrong client for you.
Yeah, no, that's a great point to talk about. And the fact that since you're in the UK and I'm in the US, even that, there's a massive difference, because ultimately for me, I'm currently billed at $20,000 for a 1-hour speech as a keynote speaker. I've been doing this for 20 years, right? But as I was building up my career about 15 years ago, I started getting approached by some of these speaking bureaus, which are agencies, and then they actually literally ask you, what do you price that? They ask you, not you ask them. But what I'm saying is a lot of people cannot fathom making not even $20,000 or even $2,000 or $200. And it goes back to what you're saying, limiting beliefs. For me, I'm like, okay, this is how long I've been doing this. I used to work for American Express. I just looked at my supposed contemporaries, what I've done, and then put a price out there. Now, whether someone buys it or not, it's one issue, but ultimately I've been paid even more than that. But the whole point is, for people listening, I really hope they listen to what you're saying, because it really is a limiting belief. The reason, frankly, the blunt truth of why someone like a Simon Sinek, who is billed at $100,000 and you and I, we're not as well known as him per se, but it's not like he's like saying the most groundbreaking things. This is no disrespect to Simon Sinek, by the way. I think the guy's amazing.
Of course.
I'm saying it's the brand that the person's created around him that warrants the price points, which is why a purse at Louis Vuitton might cost $50,000 and a purse at a, you know, Chinatown in New York City might cost $5. But going back to your point of limiting beliefs, it's so important that we first identify that. And for you, like, what is there like a process you do, or you just sit down with your client? Or like, what's kind of like the format you take when you work with your clients?
Well, it really, like many great coaches, we work with what shows up. I think if we may have a wide variety of tools and structures and programs that we can apply, but it's very, very important when the client shows up that you create something together that actually addresses the things that are important to them. And with limiting beliefs, often they don't even know they have them. This is a very jargony phrase that we use in the coaching world, and it may not mean anything to somebody. So it's really important to be clear about jargon-free language. And often one of these will show up when I might reflect back to somebody, again, not, hey, do you know you have a limiting belief around this? But just I might say, you've mentioned the word control 5 times in the last 10 minutes, for example. Tell me a little bit about that. You know, so you're listening to what they're saying, you're taking it in, and you're not putting your lens on it. You're asking them to explain what they mean, because even very distinct words have different meanings to different people. And for example, limiting beliefs, that's, you know, people say, well, of course, you know, because if I work with so-and-so, they'd be like this and blah, 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 because they'd be charging this, or you know, they would be this type of person if they could afford that. And, you know, one of my favorite questions is, what evidence do you have for that? And again, that's a judgment-free question. They might have loads of evidence. Usually that isn't the case. And whether that's a belief about themselves, about the world, about others, what evidence do you have is a really great question. Often I asked it to myself and been asked by my own coaches it, because it may be you have one piece of evidence that was 20 years old. You know, and that you have clung on to, and it's become a awful thing that you have clung on to, and it may also serve in your mind, and your inner critic may tell you this, and it might just be one person or maybe two people in all the people you met in your life, you know. So I think it's really helpful in terms of process to be deeply listening and reflecting back when you see something that is actually holding someone back from thinking as freely as they might.
Oh, that's a great point. I mean, and even when you say what evidence, sometimes I've found with people I've worked with, it isn't evidence, it's just their opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
about why they can't charge this or why they can't do this. And again, I can't speak for people in the UK, but in America, there is this overleaning thing is where you can pursue your dreams, but even if you believe you can, it's one thing, but to actually do it is another thing. And based on where they were born and what the race are or gender, that goes into this whole thing about, oh, I can't do this because I'm like, yeah, if you're in the Western world, if you've traveled enough, as long as you have a Wi-Fi computer and access to a bank account, you can literally compete with anyone in the world. And that's only now. And I hope our listeners realize, regardless of whatever beliefs you have, you or I or anyone listening, it's so powerful what you're saying, Charlotte. I want to cue in on one thing you said. You talk about deep listening. What do you mean by deep listening?
Well, again, it's about really dialing down that judgment, because we all have judgment. And even if we're not actively applying it or being judgmental, it's there. And that's our conditioning. That's our beliefs. That's our stories and views of the world, that because humans, we have them. We all do. And it's about being able to really dial that down, really tune in, and almost so there's nothing blocking this connection between you and this person in front of you. And many people have different ways of doing this. I find sometimes a very quick meditation before each session to almost just like clear the space, because I'm about to hold space for someone else and they're about to bring their life into this space. And so it's very important it's not cluttered with my stuff. So that, you know, there's that. And then it's really listening to what they're not saying as much as what they are saying. And I'm sure, you know, there's many great people who talk about deep listening, Michael Neal, for example, but people go away and Google what it means to them. But those are the things for me, is to not bring your stuff to a space that's you're holding for somebody else, which requires you to dial down that judgment. And then, yeah, to be listening to the unsaid as well as the said. That's a kind of another level.
I love that. The last question I have, which is so on point with what you're saying is I'm looking at your LinkedIn profile right now and you have these cool shades on, you're looking out at the ocean and it says that you're the executive adventurer. So the ocean is also very symbolic of possibility. And what do you hope that all of your clients that you work with in relation to this ocean analogy? I mean, why did you even post that picture? Because it's a very powerful, serene, there's so many different things I can take from it, but you also say that you're the executive adventurer. Yeah. So what does that mean in the context of how you go about helping your clients?
Well, there's two things really. So the ocean's a very special place to me, and I'm also a scuba diver and a diver. And so I know how incredible the world beneath the waves is. You know, the power of the waves on the shore is one thing and it's beautiful, but I often feel like coaching the way I feel about scuba diving. I want to shout at everybody, why aren't you down here? Have you seen how beautiful it is down here? Like literally, it's another world. And when I came into the world of coaching and when I see this with my clients and the results that they get and how free they become from the things that may have been holding them back, all of the stuff that we deal with, I want to shout to everybody else, why aren't you down here? You know, or up here, however you want to look like, but that's kind of like comparing it to diving, right? Why aren't you down here? Like if you're listening to this and you've never been coached, go out and get a coach, get a good one. But go out,
get you,
get one. Well, of course, get me.
Go out there, get one. I'm
exactly.
Charlotte,
clearly, I'd recommend myself, but we also must accept that there are people for everybody.
No. And you're the woman.
Well, of course I am. But also that's the executive adventure piece comes in. Again, it's not just about the ocean. It's about these people. It's not a demographic. It's a psychographic of people. These people are almost like executive about their life and they want to be intentional about their success and their happiness. But they also are adventurous because that's what it takes to be successful in anything. And that's what it takes to lead a happy life as well, to kind of step outside of those zones, which we all call the comfort zones. You know, that's the executive adventure. And yes, I do a lot of things that other people class as adventurous. And so I know for a fact that's how you grow as a person. But you don't have to do what I do. You don't have to like free dive to 90 foot on one breath. That's not compulsory. I won't make you do that. But I will make you dive.
That's
into
for your
yourself.
More executive coaches that have worked with
well,
you for 2 years.
You know, there is when we can all travel again, you know, I will be doing a scuba diving plus a sort of inner dive retreat. Like that's totally a thing. But, you know, you are going to be diving into yourself because that, again, that's where the freedom is.
Yeah. I want to really just highlight that last point, Charlotte, because ultimately so many people out there might want to be a coach or speaker, but what you've done quite well is to really brand yourself as a person that understands using these analogies of you being this free diver or scuba diver, all these things relative to the ocean, but relating that directly to, yeah, I want to dive deeper because it is beautiful. So good job on you explaining that analogy. And for our listeners, please know that that's how you differentiate yourself from other people. That's how you have your own brand. That's how you charge a higher price point when people can understand what you do, but there's complete parallel because clearly you have conveyed over and over in this last 10 minutes, Charlotte, how you ask about these deep listening and probing more, but all that goes back to your analogy of the scuba diving. And had I never asked that question, I would have never known that. So I love
exactly
the fact that in this 10 minutes, we really have a glimmer, obviously, of what you do. And now it's up to our listeners to really reach out to you and learn from you. So Charlotte, thank you for being on our podcast. How can our listeners stay in touch with you and learn from you?
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. So my website is charlottefowles.com. And there's a variety of information on there about speaking and about and coaching, working with me one-to-one. I also am on Instagram, which is, I'm a human being like everybody else. I put my business things on there, but that's where you can see me doing these adventures, actually practicing what I preach, getting outside of my own comfort zone. For example, at the moment, I'm swimming in the ocean in the UK in November. It is cold. So you can see me doing things like that and hopefully be inspired and enthused. And if not, just have a bit of a laugh at some of the things that I'm up to. So that my Instagram is @fowles.charlotte and then my website as well. I'm also on LinkedIn, as you said, and that's just Charlotte Fowles.
Great. Charlotte, thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.